Spaced it. Stuck in it. Cut trapped in that trap.
And you know, I just want people to know, you know, that we're still fighting, that we're still here, and that we're still standing up. And that, you know, Degrassi is not a dead issue, and it never will.
Man overboard, I'm sick of this. It's just another battle, and I'm building up resistance.
On August 30th, I spoke to Chrissy Swain, an Anishinaabe activist from Grassy Narrows. Grassy Narrows is an Indigenous community in northwestern Ontario and has maintained the longest-standing blockade in Canadian history. In December 2002, Chrissy Swain was one of the youth who started the blockade to prevent logging on Grassy Narrows' traditional territory. The community recently won a victory when Abitibi Bowater announced that they would suspend logging in the territory, a major step towards establishing a moratorium on industrial development. However, resource extraction has not stopped, and I was in Grassy Narrows to attend a mining workshop organized by the community. They brought in John Cutbeat, an Indigenous activist from KI, to speak about resistance to mining in his community, and we toured three potential mining sites in the traditional territory and held ceremonies at them. In the interview, I speak to Chrissy about the youth walk she is organizing from Grassy Narrows to Ottawa to demand that the federal government honor its treaties and to make connections with other First Nations communities in resistance. The walk will leave within the next week.
But how could a man dismantle himself like this? Laying all alone up in that hospital like this. No one came to see him till he felt a rabbit's hand.
Can you tell us about the walk that happened last year?
Okay, last year I did a walk from Kenora to Toronto, and the walk came out of frustration, I guess, with the way how our people get criminalized for standing up for our rights, you know, standing up to protect our territories. And it wasn't just like I guess I have to put out there that it wasn't like an idea that just came to my head. It was like something spiritual at the same time. It's like came through a dream to me, and in this dream that I had, it was like I was walking, and it was early in the morning, and I knew that it was by Lake Superior, and in front of me I could see the sun rising, and I was carrying a staff, and I had my partner with me. And I just, like, when I thought about that dream, to me, it was like that sun rising meant that there was going to be something new, like that I had to walk, you know, to find that whatever that represented. And so we did the walk, and it took us 23 days, and there was 23 youth. As we ended up on Queen's Park, we camped out there for 4 days, and there was a lot of different things that came on the walk, like a lot of visions, thoughts, messages, like for our own people, and also for like non-natives, like for Canada. And as one of the ones that really stand out to me the most is I ended up fasting in a community called Mishpakatin, and I had this dream that I was in this longhouse, and I went out one door, and in that door it was there was four men standing there, and the earth looked really dead, like it was gray. There was a little puddle there, and like a dead tree. It was really like gloomy, and I looked in the puddle, and I could see my baby like face down, and these men were just laughing, like they, and I was like crying, you know, saying help my baby, and they were just standing there laughing. And this old woman came to me, and she's like, come out the other door, she said. So I went through the longhouse out the other door, and this time the water, there was a like river, and the water was so clean, the earth was green, and like there was trees that were like in full bloom, and she asked me to help her start digging this garden. So we started to dig, and as I was digging, I was pulling out my baby's clothes, and I could smell her, like I could smell my baby, and it made me cry so hard because I was crying for that loss. And all of a sudden these young people came and started to dig too, and that old lady says, keep digging, she says, because you're bringing her back to life. And these young people, as they were digging, they were pulling out pipes and drums and rattles and just like all these different sacred items and medicines. And so I guess like that message from my dream was that that it has to be up to us, you know, as young, like the seventh generation, you know, to bring those stuff back, to take back, you know, everything that's been taken away from us. And like that walk, I feel like is a part of that, like the prayers, the tobacco, putting the tobacco down, teaching our young people, you know, about, you know, giving yourself to like what you believe in, I guess. And then like for the other side, you know, those men, I really believe represented, you know, politicians that in my vision, I guess, in my dream, that those politicians, you know, that's it, to me it was like, you know, the fork in the road, you know, you have a choice, and it's either you go that way and let everything die, and my baby represented the future generations, you know, and letting that die. And they just stood there laughing, not even caring that I was crying, you know, for that loss. And then going on this side, you know, of the longhouse, and then finding, you know, that you know, to keep going, because we can bring those stuff back, and that, you know, the more we fight, the more we keep digging, I guess, you know, is bringing those things back. And then at the end of the walk, I found, I think, you know, that sun that was rising really represented, you know, that you, when you go the distance, it's like you can make things happen. And I believe that, because after we were done the walk, you know, the gel leaders that were like from KI and RDOC were released, and on our way home, you know, finding out that Abitibi decided to pull out of the Whiskey Jack Forest. And I believe, you know, that was the power of our walk and our prayers, and, you know, that sacrifice that we made. So that was last year's walk.
Wow. What's your vision for this year's walk?
Well, this year, again, it I kind of knew already last year that there was something that I had to walk again this year, and but I wasn't sure what it was for. And when I asked, you know, I ended up having another dream. This time it was at Old Woman Bay. I was sitting there, and there was two spirits that came to me from the water, and they were two women. And these two women were talking about the importance of the water, and like how it's our responsibility as Anishinaabekwek, like to carry that water, and that they were saying something about sickness and but they pointed out this woman that was sitting down the beach, and they said that she's got something to give you. And I looked down, and this woman came to me, and she brought me a piece of paper. And that paper that I was holding was alive, you know, it was changing colors while I was holding it. And it was like the water, you know, when you look at the water and it It has like the small waves and like sparkling like in the sun and stuff. That's how it looked, and I didn't quite understand it until I spoke to somebody, and they told me the story about our treaty that I guess when they were signing treaty number 3, it took them 3 years because our people like would go and negotiate, and then they would come back with the paper and they would fast with that paper. They would like go through ceremonies, take it to shake tents, you know, and ask the grandfathers, you know, for directions with the treaty. Then they would take it back and like change things and then bring it back to the people again, you know, and do ceremonies again. So they ended up calling our treaty Manitoumazinipeagun, and that's spirit paper. And I was told that that's what I had dreamt about, was that treaty. And so I guess that's where I was like, that's what I have to walk for this year, is for that treaty. And I was going to start it in June, but it's like something, you know, stopped me, that I had to go traveling and like to go and, you know, get the word out there that this is what I was going to be doing. And so I went traveling and I ended up coming across, you know, some people that kind of like fit the puzzles, you know, into what this walk was going to be about. And what came to me was that, you know, all over Turtle Island, our people are standing up, you know, for the same reason, whether it's like for the water, for the land, you know, we're standing up for that right, you know, to exist and to still be who we are, Anishinaabe. This is what makes us who we are. And that I started going to the communities around Southern Ontario, like wherever something was happening. Like I went to their protests, to their blockades, and, you know, went and talked to the people and asked, you know, like for them to come and join, because we're all standing up for the same reason. And the story that I shared with them was like of Peacemaker. This is a story from the Mohawk people, that Peacemaker showed them one arrow and it broke. And when he showed them a bundle of arrows, that he couldn't break them. And I feel like that was his message all this time, was that we have to all stand together to make a like big noise, to make a difference, you know, in the way our people get treated, the way, you know, Canada deals with our issues. And so on this walk, I'm going to be carrying our treaty, and I'm going to carry it to Ottawa. And when I get to Ottawa, I'm going to read that treaty there and remind Canada that they have treaties with us, and that they have to acknowledge them. And I just met John Cutfeet, and he like brought a big piece to my walk when he talked about Section 35 in the Constitution, that Canada has to acknowledge our treaties and that our treaties are still alive. And that's what I'm gonna like remind Canada also of, is that they, in their constitution, it's written that they have to acknowledge our treaties. So I'm inviting, you know, anybody, anywhere, you know, all across Canada, Turtle Island, you know, all across Turtle Island, to come and join me on this walk and to bring their treaties and to, you know, bring their issues, because we're all facing the same thing. And, you know, take that story lightly, you know, a Peacemaker, you know, with the bundle of arrows, because I feel like all together, you know, we can make that difference.
So last night we heard John Cutfeet from KI talk about mining there, and we're about to have a ceremony about a mining site here. Do you want to talk a bit about what's happening in Grassy right now in terms of mining and logging and how people are fighting back?
I guess like for the way, like honestly, I think that that there isn't going to be no mining here, because we're so driven, you know, to stop any more extraction, you know, to this territory. Like myself, I'm willing, you know, to go the distance for my children to make sure that they could still have this territory. And you know, I just want people to know, you know, that we're still fighting, that we're still here, and that we're still standing up. And that, you know, Grassy is not a dead issue, and it never will be, because, like, there's me, and then there's going to be my kids after me, you know. And I think, you know, what we're doing right now is, like, preparing ourselves, you know, for that fight. I feel like that's where we are right now, is preparing ourselves. And the way I feel is like that the province needs to start taking us more seriously, because we could stop the logging, we could stop the mining. You know, if we could stop the logging, then we can stop the mining, you know. And they need to, you know, quit trying to bring in these, like, different, their little tactics, you know, on trying to divide or trying to conquer and divide. And because in the end, we're still a nation, and we'll always still stand together. That's where I stand, and that's how I feel about what's going on in our community. And I feel like I speak for, like, a lot of people when I say that. And that's where we're at right now, you know. We're coming out here, you know, today to remind ourselves, you know, to feel the land again, you know, to show people, you know, that this is what we're fighting for.
So if people are interested from other nations around Canada to join your walk, or if other people want to support it, how can they do that?
Well, they can, like, individuals, they can come as walkers, runners, drivers, or, like, even fundraise in their communities, like, so that we can, like, still, so that we can have a support vehicle and, like, to be able to feed the walkers and like, even, like, put us up in places to stay, speaking events. Whatever, you know, whatever they feel, whatever anybody feels like they want to do, you know, they can, like, get a hold of me or Alex Hundert. And yeah, that's pretty much mainly what we would need, is, like, and, like, media, like, getting a hold of media. Yeah.
Is there an email address or website people can reach you at if they want to do those things?
Yeah, they could either email me at ojibwediva@hotmail.com. That's ojibwediva@hotmail.com. Or I'm on Facebook under Chrissy Swain. Or they can contact Alex Hundert at 519-500-1878.